Welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through their insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have Melissa Crook. She is a founder and host of the Feel Podcast. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Thank you so much, AJ. I'm so honored to be here.
You are welcome to the show. You are welcome to India in this online form. And not only in India, but a lot of people across the globe will benefit from what we'll be talking about. We'll be talking about, you know, women empowerment, how women can prioritize self-care. So my first question is to talk to you, to understand from you, Melissa, is why do you focus so much on this? You are working to normalize conversations for women surrounding self-care, emotional health, boundaries, and embracing all their beautiful and complex layers. Help us understand all these, you know, in the backdrop of any personal experiences that you have, feel free to share that.
Okay. Well, this really became a quest of mine out of my own journey and journey with other women that I have worked with over the last, 40 years. Actually, you start looking at my adult life, I'm 54 years old now. And what I have learned through my own experiences is that we as women are kind of embedded in our cultures and our narratives that we're there to take care of everybody else and put ourselves last. And if there's any morsel left, once we've done that, then we can take care of ourselves. The problem with that is the effect that it has on our health. It has an effect on our emotional health and our physical health, our mental health, because we're so busy taking care of everyone else that we don't stop to take care of ourselves. We get burned out. We become exhausted. We start feeling like we're martyrs. And in my case, I ended up in the ER twice in the fall that I turned 50, dealing with unprocessed emotions, unprocessed just traumas that I dealt with, stuffing everything because I was putting everyone else first. So it started showing up in my life as high blood pressure, racing heartbeat, and these things, and just a sense of I have to be on top of everything all the time. If something gets missed, the whole world's going to fall apart. And I think that's a false narrative that so many of us carry. And so I was like, okay, how did I get here? And I know other women in my life that are in the same place. So we've got to stop this trajectory. We've got to start talking about it with each other and with women that are older than us that have lived this, with women that are younger. I have 3 daughters. I didn't want them to live this way. So how do we start these conversations? And so through conversations, I got into therapy and I started acknowledging, oh my gosh, I've spent this whole most of my life, really since I was 10 years old. I had a lot of responsibilities in my family growing up. And basically since I was 10 years old, I was taking care of everyone else first. And the problem with that is if you aren't prioritizing your self-care first, we're told it's selfish. It's not selfish. It's actually best for everybody. Because if I'm taking care of myself first, making sure that I'm feeling healthy physically, healthy emotionally, mentally, I'm going to be a better person, a better human in the world. I am going to be better able to be there as a support for the people around me, because they're going to be getting the best of me. Secondly, I'm worth it. I am inherently valuable. I was created with value. I do not have to perform to be valuable, but that is not, again, the narrative that we hear. So we're trying to change the conversation around that. And so that's my journey. That's how I got here. And through this, through talks with my family, through talks with women that I work with, we came up with these talking points and practices that we believe, based on our own experiences, can help women live unapologetically and prioritize their self-care without feeling selfish, so they can be the best versions of themselves that they deserve to be and that their people deserve to be, and surrounding themselves with people that support that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well put, Melissa. Let me understand it from the family dynamics. Why is it so that women hold a very important family position in the family? everything circles around them.
Yes.
And you know, it's a fact whether people want to understand it or they understand later in life, but it's a fact. In some cultures, it is a bit more on the higher side. But sure, I get it that, yes, women can tend to ignore their own needs, of, you know, emotional needs as well as all sort of needs, in the whole understanding that they need to take care of the family first, also with the belief that the family will also take care of them.
Right.
Why I want to understand why it doesn't happen. Where is that family dynamics going wrong? Because if, and it includes, you know, children, it includes men. They all say they all love each other. Even children say, "Mom," to their mom, "we love you." And it does not reflect in that. And women get exhausted. So I want to understand, where is that wrong belief system getting inculcated in families across cultures? Why
yes.
is it? It includes, you know, girls. It includes boys. All. So I want to understand, how can we address this problem within the families itself? What does the husband or the male members have to understand if it's a larger family, a joint family, especially in a country like India and many other countries, and also in nuclear families like the US? What should they teach their children about the needs of the women in the family, including, you know, the teens, the boys, the girls, everyone, and the men? I want to understand, and then we'll come to the feel part of it all.
Sure, absolutely. I think it starts with communication. And I think there has to be a trust and ability to communicate first between the husband and the wife, or whatever your partner dynamic is, whichever country you're living in, it might be, you know, it could be with the parents, starting with the parents. I think it's, you know, with children, it starts with the parents, one, by seeing it modeled. Like they will treat you the way they see you asking yourself to be treated. And so that becomes with the communication between the husband and wife, of making sure that everyone is getting the time they need. You know, the husband being attuned to the fact that my wife might need a half hour this morning to herself before the day starts. So how can I honor that? But it's also on the wife to communicate that need. But again, that's where the trust is. She has to believe that she's going to be heard and trusted, so the husband can show up and be like, "How can I support you this morning, knowing that you have a full day ahead? Or how can I support you today?" Maybe she is not a morning person like me, so maybe it's at lunchtime. But just making sure she's aware and feels supported in doing whatever she needs to do, whether it's journaling, whether it's your tea or your coffee and some quiet time and meditation, and just being, you know, sitting outside, being alone, listening to the air. I start the day with my coffee and writing down my feelings and emotions so that I know where I'm at in the day, what kind of self-care I might need. But I have the support of my husband. And I will tell you, for me, my husband was telling me for years, "You need to prioritize yourself." But because I didn't hear that narrative as a child based on the faith space and family dynamic I grew up in, it took a long time for me to actually believe that. So it's a two-part. It's the husband and wife communicating well and feeling supported that she will be heard and that it's understood that her work, whether you're working from home or you have a job, that hers is work too, taking care of the children and the duties around the house, and that she needs some time too. And it's too, if the children see that modeled, then they're more likely to A, treat their mother that way, and then grow up either as girls feeling empowered to do it, and as boys, as husbands, that they become feeling like, "I need to make sure my wife feels supported in this, because I saw my dad supporting my mom in this." And this can be true across partner spectrums. It doesn't have to be, you know, mom and dad. It can be parents. It can be moms and moms, dads and dads. I mean, we're talking to the whole world here, but it really starts between those partners and those parents, I believe, in that communication and trust, feeling like you can.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Melissa. So for the general understanding of a lot of people, you know, they get so ingrained in this family affairs that they don't even understand what this self-care is all about. So yeah. for the simple people, for people in smaller areas who are for them, or even the larger areas where family is the priority, how should especially women take self-care about? What is this self-care all about? And let others also understand about the self-care needs of women. Also at the same time, you know, women, several of them, I don't want to generalize it, they tend to somehow, you know, tend to go for this word called doing things a bit more perfectly than a lot of other people. You know, as I said, and in that perhaps way of looking at things, you again don't tend to find that time for yourself. Another thing is multitasking. You want to do several things at the same time, these are things where the way God has made you. It is the nature that has made you. You have not done, except that now you have to calibrate it. Third thing is now you are working. A lot of women are into the workforce, and that thing has come as an extra thing now, that you have to take care of the family, you have to go for the work. The demands of present day work are too high. And that is where I want to understand, amidst all these things, what does self-care mean for all people, especially women in all corners of the world?
I think it means whatever it is that makes you feel rested or fulfilled. And if you don't know what that is, there's some practices that you can do, because so many women are running so hard. If you would have asked me this 5 years ago, I'm like, I have no idea what I need to do to feel better. And it's also a time thing. Sometimes you might be doing this driving in the car when it's just you, you know, dropping the kids off or picking them up or going to work. You might be doing this late at night or in the morning. But if you don't know what it is you need, start out by writing down 5 things that really nourish you. What are 5 activities that nourish you? Think of that thing. Is it a walk in nature? Is it listening to calming music? Is it a rigorous, you know, workout? Is it going for a swim? What is it? Is it having lunch with a girlfriend or any kind of a friend and catching up? What are those things? Write down 5 things that nourish you. That will then help you. I'm like, that's where I start my self-care. Those are the things that I need to incorporate in my life. It doesn't mean you incorporate all 5 of them every day. You might just have time for 1 or 2, but start with writing down those things that make you feel good. And that will really inform, for me, your self-care. The other thing you can do is write down all of your emotions that you're feeling when you wake up that morning or before you go to bed at night or even the middle of the day at lunchtime. What am I feeling right now? Because I think that will help identify too what it is you need that day. I'm feeling excited. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling worried. I'm feeling happy and joy. The other things, we can feel all these things at one time. I think as women, we try to we hone in on one emotion and then we bottle up the rest. Allow yourself to feel everything. Those are clues, because we have to also listen to our bodies. We as women are not, I think, trained to believe that we can trust ourselves, but our bodies will tell us what we need. So if you're feeling extra tense, maybe you need to go for a walk. Maybe you need to stretch, do some yoga, listen to some relaxing music, do some breathing. If you're feeling very tired, maybe you need a 20-minute power nap. And you know, you can even put it on your alarm, but write down those things that nourish you and write down how you're feeling. And that will inform and give you a place to start for your self-care.
Right, Melissa. So in terms of, you see, a lot of women are very educated.
Yes.
A lot of women are less educated, but they have a good understanding of the world. Mm-hmm. And many are in the world, in different countries, not so educated or not educated at all.
Right.
But why is it that this whole issue is everywhere? Even educated women, they are not able to take care of themselves. They may talk about it, but may not be able to do anything about it. I want to understand, why is it so?
That is an excellent question, AJ. And I think that is the great question, is that why isn't it that we see ourselves as worth this, as valuable enough? And I think it starts with, because you mentioned earlier, all the multitasking, we are not easy on ourselves. We are very hard on ourselves. We expect ourselves to show up. So there's a lack of grace and empathy that we show up as. And the problem is people will treat you according to how you show up. If you show up like I can get it all done, they're going to let you do it. But if you show up showing grace and empathy for yourself, we don't hear that narrative. We still are not starting with little girls in schools. We are not hearing the narrative from our parents, from our schools, from our faith spaces that we are valuable, that we are worthy for just being in the world. And so we start hearing and they start differentiating roles as young as 5 and 6 years old. So I believe it starts with parents teaching this to their little girls, grow up believing your value is not based on how you perform. Your value is based on the fact that you are alive and existing in this world and were created for a purpose, but that purpose is part of you. It's not your definition. And so I believe it starts with these narratives that I think across cultures, across the world, we are hearing. So no matter what your education level is or your background, if you've been hearing that narrative since you were 4, 5, 6 years old, that you're only valuable based on how much good you do, how well you do in school, how much you do for your family, how well you take care of your siblings, whatever that is, then that is what you're going to continue to strive for. But if you start hearing, thank you so much for that, but I love you just for who you are. And and we get rid of these words like lazy and, you know, things that are just send these negative narratives. But I believe it starts in those early stages of the messages we're hearing from the time we're very young.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Also, you know, in today's time, how do women calibrate all these narratives that women are not less than men and that there has to be equality? Why is it that in India, we have a lot of problems about things, but we have a lot of respect for the women in our lives. We have goddesses who are very powerful. When all the gods failed, the goddesses saved not only the gods, all the humans also. Now, in this, when nature has created you with so much of power, if you realize it in the right manner, why do you have to fight for the lesser thing called so-called equality when you are considered yourself, if you see it that way, very strong? I want to understand then, how do you take care of self-care needs at the same time going along with the narrative of proving yourself all the time? Somehow that needs to be, you know, corrected. That is what I feel you would be able to tell better, how that needs to be set rightly so that it works in the right manner, so that the train, two wheels of a train going forward.
Yeah, that is an excellent question, AJ. And that's an excellent point. I think it starts with women need to support women living in each other. We need to show up for each other. There's a lot of competition amongst women in the world because we believe I have to fight for myself. There's no room for anybody else. Instead of coming together as a larger unit, we have to get rid of this scarcity mindset, come together as a larger unit and like, listen, we are going to show up for ourselves, for each other. When I win, you win. And that creates more space for all of us. Because as long as we're showing up divisively, that just feeds the argument that we aren't equal, that we aren't capable. You don't see men duking it out like that. And so women need to, first of all, quit seeing each other as the competition and start coming together to work together and decide what the narrative is going to be. First, we are valuable just as we are. Second, we are going to take care of ourselves first so we can show up in the world and for each other the best way possible. But we have to quit seeing other women as the competition and come together as a collective. And it's when we do that and do that with strength and show up consistently that way that I think we can start breaking down these walls and these narratives that are out there about us having to prove ourselves, because they know we're going to show up as and we're better together. We're all better together. When we all show up as our best selves, we all win. And men and women, we all win. So I think that's where, for me, from what I see, I'm in the United States, so I'm speaking from that experience, but I think it's worldwide, us showing up as a collective, that we are not going to try to knock each other off. We're going to rise up together. And we're going to do that on our terms by first seeing ourselves and each other as valuable and as fellow humanity. And we're going to rewrite that narrative, but we have to do it together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is where your work as a founder and host of the Feel podcast comes in. You are doing, tell us about this. How are you trying to get the right narrative into everyone, you know, in terms of women empowerment, in terms of self-care, self-worth, and everything related with it?
Well, we came up with 8 talking points, and this was done in combination with my daughters, with my husband, my son-in-law, and my co-founders, Abby Bakel and Valencia San Luis. And we came up with these 8 talking points that we felt like if women can get on the train and focus on this, then this is going to really help us get on the right path, having the important conversations we need to have to do this together. I start off, though, with guests. I bring on women I know through various parts. They may be friends of mine for years. They may be people I've met through my work. And we start off by introducing women by their character traits rather than what they do, because we want to send the message early on. We'll get into what they do as we're having the conversation and how it contributes to this. But we first and foremost want them to name who they are as a person, not what they do in the world. So we start there. And then we ask each woman, how do you prioritize self-care in your life? Confidently setting healthy boundaries. How do you take care of your emotional health as much as your physical health? How can you support yourself and other women in living unapologetically? The importance of coming back to your why and your values and everything you do. That's really going to set the scope of what you say yes to and what you say no to. Because we as women have a habit of saying yes to everything. And we don't stop and think, does this align with my values, with who I am, with what is important to me today? We talk about living out of our own expectations versus others. So we're like, I'm not asking you what your family expects of you. I'm not asking you what your husband expects of you. I'm asking you about what you expect of you, and to define that and then communicate that to the people that you're in contact with, your family, your coworkers, your children, your, you know, parents. And then we talk about, this to me is key. This to me is the key to everything. Accepting the layered aspects of ourselves. That is accepting all the parts of who we are, all the parts we love, all the parts we don't love so much, the mistakes we've made, the victories, accepting all of those as who we are, as part of our life's journey, and without disdain or, you know, taking those things and realizing that it's all part, that we are not perfect, that we don't expect others to be perfect, so we should not expect that of ourselves. If you can see that intrinsic value, you're more likely to go and do these other things. You're more likely to see yourself worthy of healthy boundaries in relationships in the workplace. You're more likely to see yourself as worthy of trusting your body. Your body will tell you when things are off kilter. You will feel it. You will know when, whether it's the headache that you have from the stress you've been under, or the stomach ache, or just this tenseness in your body, listen to that. That's going to tell you. But we have to think that we're worthy of that. If we keep thinking, I don't have time to listen to my body, I just have to keep going, or I'm going to disappoint so-and-so, that's the road to nowhere. So we have to see the value and communicate that. Again, if we're doing all this in our head and we're not communicating that to the people in our lives, then it's going to be hard to change anything. But it's having these conversations and then talking about, and all of the women that are on our podcast, none of them, including myself, none of them have arrived at this. None of us are perfect. We're all in process, but we're sharing our resources with each other on how we do these things. And so the hope is when women are listening to our podcast, they will hear something that helps them. And then those resources are shared on our website for them to go back to, like, oh, I listened to that episode last week with Rachel Lavin, and she had some great tips on what she does for her self-care routine each day. That really felt like something I could do. Because that's the key with self-care, is you can't make it this big thing that doesn't feel doable. You need to start really simple, and you need to start with something that feels doable. It needs to feel like something you can accomplish each day, or else you're going to abandon it and not do it. So our hope is in these conversations that women will hear this, and especially on the portion of living unapologetically, that we'll realize no more scarcity. We're going to show up for ourselves. We're going to show up for each other. And in tune, that's better for everybody. And so that is the hope behind this. That's the message that we share on the podcast and that we want to get out to all the women in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you are also coming out with a book. I don't know if it has already come out. You have got the Embracing Layers Network, Embracing Layers radio show. Tell us about this so that, you know, women especially can engage with you with so many things that you guys are doing at the same time.
Oh, thank you so much for that opportunity. Yes, we are in the final editing stages of our book. What we realized is that not every woman listens to a podcast. You know, not every woman wants to or has access to that, but most women can get access to a book. And so we have taken highlights from our first four seasons of our podcast, and our blog writer and newsletter writer, Jessica, she's an aspiring author. She's a wonderful writer. She and I worked together to put together the first four seasons in book form. And it's taking those highlights of guests along with her thoughts and the blogs that she's written around them and making this available to women in book form. We hope for that to be ready for release in early 2024. We're thinking around Valentine's Day. That's going to be ready for release. It's going to be available on Amazon, so you can get it anywhere in the world. It'll be available in book form. We're hoping to do it in audio form as well. And so we're super excited. And then that will invite women into the community, because we're available on all social media, but we have a platform called Substack where we invite women to actually have conversations about each week's episode. There are engagement pieces where they can listen and then engage in a certain way based on what that person has talked about. So that's where you can really, that's the purpose of the book. And then the other exciting opportunity we have that we're starting to work on, and I'm in the process right now of reaching out to partners about this, is we will be launching in partnership with 360 Talk Radio for Women and Lori Carice, her great radio show app that has over 5,000 subscribers. It reaches more than 50,000 people worldwide. And we will launch that on January 1st. We're going to kick off the new year strong. And each Monday, we will have a 6-hour time slot where we will talk about with other women what it looks like to embrace all of our layers and to embark on this journey that we talk about. But we're going to bring on guests that we've had in the past that are specialists in different areas, and they're going to get their own hour to talk further. So if there's a guest that you really liked, that you really connected with, that guest is going to, if she would like to have this opportunity, it's going to have an hour on our show to share more. You can learn more about her. But so I'm going to start off every hour each week, kicking off that hour, talking about what each week's theme is going to be. So in that new year, we're going to kick off our theme with, instead of new year, new you, it's going to be new year, take care of you. And then we're going to have, I'll talk about that. And then over the next 5 hours, we'll have guests that come on to talk about ways that you can take care of you in the new year and make that a priority. And then we'll go from there with each week's theme. But we're super excited. It's a whole new avenue. Again, just like the book's a different medium, this is another medium, a radio medium. It's on an app, a whole different way to get our message out to people, and then invite them. We'll be inviting them in to go to back to the podcast. Like I said, a lot of our guests that will show up on there will have been guests on our podcast. So if they like them, they can go back to the podcast and learn more about them. But it's just another avenue and reach to, for us to not only share, but what I'm excited about this is it's a perfect example of how when women work together, we can do so much good. So I get to invite all of these friends of the Field podcast in to do this with me. And it's just such a great example of what collaboration looks like.
Wonderful, wonderful. So those for those people who would like to learn more about this, for those women, especially if they want to connect with you and get, you know, get that feeling of much more support, get your message across. So what is the best way for them to do so?
The best way is to go on to embracinglayers.com. And it's just embracinglayers.com, all one word. And that's our website. And that's where you find everything. That is where you find our episodes. You learn about my background, our team's background. I'm also available to do public speaking. So if you want to hear about these talking points or anything you've heard on here today, I can come speak to your group. You can pick just one talking point or we can talk about them all. I leave that up to the people who that I speak with. So I'm available to speak. So we have a connect page on there that you can fill out to have me come speak to your group or be on your podcast. Or if you want to be on our podcast, there's blogs, newsletters, there's sources on how you can do these things, access to our newsletters that have more information about how to do this, how to follow us on social media. It's all there. So embracinglayers.com is the headquarters for where you can find all of that. And we're very active on socials, and there's a link tree on there to show how you can participate there. But it's that's the simple one-stop shopping, so to speak, to find out about everything we do and get links to everything. And then our podcasts are available on all the platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeart, you know, those kinds of things too. But embracinglayers.com is the place to go for everything, all in one place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. With this, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much, AJ. This was